opportunity to be back, services here at Truth, and appreciate the Lord giving us this opportunity. Appreciate your having mercy and grace coming up the road. I do need your prayers tonight. The Lord might touch us and help us for just a little while. Genesis 21, and I want to begin reading in verse number 14. Genesis 21 and verse 14. The Bible said, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness, Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lift up her voice and wept.
Amen.
And God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is.
Yes.
Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege, Lord, to pray. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good day that you've given us and for help and strength. I thank you, Lord, for loving me and saving me and putting me in this good way. I thank you for the reading of the Word of God tonight. I thank you preserved a book for us into this generation. I thank you for the portion you directed my heart to. And I thank you, dear Lord, tonight for the privilege to be in this place. Thank you for the pastor here and the church you planted. Thank you for these, Lord, that make up this body. Thank you, dear Lord, for these that are visiting tonight and from other places. I pray, Lord, tonight as we come to this hour, you give us unction and utterance now. I pray you to help us to preach, anoint us to preach, empower us to preach, and, Lord, preach through us tonight. Lord, I confess to you my inability tonight. I realize, Lord, without that power, oh God, that comes from yonder's world, without that anointing and that touch, and that liberty, Lord, that you give man to preach, I'll not be able to do anything tonight. But I pray, Lord, you'd have mercy on me, on these that await my words tonight. And for just a few moments, hide me in the cross. Let me lose sight of myself and where I'm at. Strengthen my body and voice. And anoint me spiritually to proclaim and preach the Word of God. Preach through me the message you won't preach tonight. Remove and forgive and cleanse anything in my heart and life that would hinder the working of the Holy Ghost. And oh, help us tonight. Oh, we look to you tonight. For without you, we are nothing, dear Lord. But I pray, God, you'd work effectually and mightily in our lives tonight. And I pray the Word of God to go forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. I pray as it goes forth and find lodging in hearts and lives tonight. Would you draw men, women, boys, and girls to you tonight? Convict sinners of any of you. Stir the saints. Revive us again. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Let us see your glory tonight. Get honor and glory out of our lives and out of this service. And we'll thank and praise you, for it is in the name of Jesus I humbly pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you for standing.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if I'll be able to do anything with this tonight or not. There's, I know, blessed fruits in these passage tonight, but I thought would come out of verse number 15 tonight when the Bible said, "And the water was spent in the bottle." I want to preach tonight on what to do when the water is spent in the bottle. Now here we have the story of Abraham and of course Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden of Sarah. You remember that God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. He, my friend, promised that he would give that son.
Yes.
Abraham had begun to follow God at 75 5 years old, and the Lord began to promise him that he would bless him and his seed after him. But we find, my friend, that Abraham and Sarah, when they received word from the Lord that God would give them a son, that they felt the need to help the Lord out. Sarah was past the time of bearing. Her womb was dry and barren. And she had a handmaiden by the name of Hagar. No doubt, probably, they had picked up Hagar on the trip that Abraham had made into Egypt. You remember reading the story of Abraham, how that he would build his altar and how he journeyed from place to place as the Lord directed him, first out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then as the Lord directed him in the land of Canaan. But in the land of Egypt, Abraham built no altar. Abraham had no communion with God. And it looks like that he went into Egypt and came back out unscathed, untouched, undefiled, and simply had a time when there was no communion with God, rebuilt the altar that he had left when he left Canaan and went into Egypt, and everything was well. And I want to tell you, never take time, my friend, when you break communion and fellowship with God, that you don't carry some excess baggage with the trip. My friend, every sin has its penalty and its payday, and it may not manifest itself, thank God, today, and it may not show up tomorrow, but you can mark it down. The seeds, my friend, of walking away from God, of being cold and indifferent, are simply, my friend, not having fellowship with God or communion with God, will spring up in your life somewhere down the road. It will come. And it manifested itself in this handmaiden Hagar that they picked up in the land of Egypt. And my friend, I thought it was necessary, my friend, for Abraham to go in unto her and let her bear him a child. I want to say tonight, God doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. And he doesn't need me tonight to help him do anything. And God, he can do what he wants to when he gets ready. Amen. And he doesn't need us to help him keep his promises or to do his promises or to do his work tonight. And God, I want to tell you, most of the time, my friend, when it comes to preaching and serving God, the biggest thing we need to do is get ourselves out of the way and let him, thank God, work through us tonight. Amen. He doesn't need my 2 cents worth. He just needs, thank God, a willing vessel tonight. Amen. And somebody that'll believe him and take him at his word. Nevertheless, Abraham went into this handmaiden, my friend Hagar, which was a common practice, my friend, in idolatrous nations, to do such things, thinking that with her giving birth to a child, it would help her. Thank God. So she brought forth then Hagar, this son of Abraham, my friend, at the feet of the knees, my friend of Sarah. But it did not change, my friend, the plan of God. But I tell you what it did do, it did cause a problem, amen. Thank God. And it's still causing a problem, by the way. Amen. Thank God. Oh, yes. He's that wild man that his hands against every man, and every man's hand I'll be against him. And the Bible said he dwell in the midst of his brethren. And so we still got problems tonight. Based on this crucial mistake. Amen. Thank God. I am thankful to God tonight. My friend, that every mistake's not final. And it doesn't keep God from carrying out his work. I like that, don't you? And so here they are. Thank God. And finally the Lord gives Abraham and Sarah Isaac. Thank God, the promised seed, the promised child. Abraham, the 100, Sarah, 90, and they have a child. God said they would, and they did. Sarah laughed, but God said, go ahead and laugh. I'll have the last laugh. Because every time anybody ever sees that boy, they'll call him laughter and laugh. Because God does what he
said. And the Bible tells us that the child Isaac was weaned, and they had a celebration at this weaning. And when he was weaned, at this party they had, at this celebration, these festivities, and the Bible said that this Hagar's son and Abraham's son by the name of Ishmael began to mock this promised seed and promised child by the name of Isaac. And when Sarah saw it, it stirred up something in her, those motherly instincts, and she went straight to Abraham and said, "Cast out that bondwoman and her son." Amen. For she, he'll not be heir with my son, and he shouldn't live with my son, and I'm not going to put up with him mocking my son. It's amazing about Sarah here, that she's so adamant about putting Hagar and Ishmael on the road, and she's a bad bird that caused Abraham how to do what he said. It wasn't his idea. You read the text, the Bible said he hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. It was her idea. Amen. God help my friend. And the woman is the weaker vessel. Thank God. And she thought to help out God. But now she's ready, my friend, to put this bond woman, this handmaiden of hers, thank God, this Egyptian handmaid, on the road, and her son. Abraham doesn't want to do it. Abraham, I know thou hesitates in his heart. Amen. But the Lord, the Bible said it was grievous in his sight. But the Lord said, "Don't worry, Abraham. I'll take care of him. And I'll see after him. And because he's from you, I'm going to speak to that boy." Amen.
Amen.
And so we get to the verse I read to you tonight. And the Bible said to Abraham, "Rose up early in the morning with that woman, and he gave her some bread, Hagar that is, and Ishmael, and gave her a bottle of water, put it on his shoulder, and sent him out." Amen. I believe he watched him till he got outside. Amen. I want to say, even though it was a mistake and a sinful mistake on Abraham's part, there was something about seeing his own kind go off in the wilderness and in the desert.
Amen. Yes.
And the Bible said they wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. That is Hagar and Ishmael. Here they are, Hagar wandering in this desert wilderness place. And the Bible said, they wander long enough. They cannot find a place, thank God, to stay. They do not find an oasis. And the Bible said the water is spent in the bottle.
Right.
Of that, my friend that Abraham had given to him how to sustain her and the boy was gone.
Yes, sir.
There was nothing left, my friend, for him to drink. And Hagar said, "I can't stand to see him die." I want to say tonight, sometimes the water in the bottle gets spent.
Yes.
And what do you do when the water is spent?
Yes.
When it's all gone and there's nothing left, what do you do? Well, look at Hagar. The Bible said, when the water was spent in the bottle, she first of all had put him under the shrubs.
Yes.
I want to say tonight, she got him out of her hand. She no longer held him to her bosom. She realized, thank God, that she did not have what was necessary out of sense to sustain life for this lad called Ishmael.
Amen.
Amen. This son of hers that she had born unto Abraham.
Amen.
The water was spent in the bottle. I want to say tonight, thank God, I hope it never comes your way, but I got a feeling it will.
You're right.
I want to say, after you've read all the how-to books, and there's some good ones, and I recommend reading them. By the way, I'm not talking about Dr. Spock when it comes to raising kids.
Yeah.
Amen. That's not what I'm talking about. Read the book of Proverbs. And God gets the blessing from this book. And then read some other from some Christians that know something about raising kids. I want to tell you, after you've read all the how-to books, there'll come a time in your life that the water in the bottle will be spent. And you won't know what to do or where to turn. Amen. That's exactly right. There'll be situations and circumstances that you'll not have an answer to. Amen. And it looks like what's been given to you and what's worked up to now is not sufficient for a situation that has arose. No doubt there's some of you here tonight that have family, and no doubt children tonight are grandchildren. Yonder my friend in the wilderness of Beersheba, and tonight the water in the bottle is spent. And you've talked till you pull in the face. Thank God. And you don't know what to do tonight. But I'm glad. When the water was spent in the bottle, and she just put him under the shrubs. Thank God. I took her hands off of the situation and said, I can't stand to see him die. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, I never can God do anything as long as we are happening. How we're doing it. But when we our extremity, and when we put things out of our hands and say there's no help and there's no hope, and there's a God that has infinite ability to do what we can't do and to work when we can't work tonight. Amen. Amen. She's not the first mother. Thank God. Nor the last, even in the scripture. How to lay her son. Thank God from her bosom and out of her hands. Hey. A Moses mother. A lady in a heart full of bulls amongst the bulrushes. And said, I've hit him 3 months. But I can't hide him no more. It's up to you, God. Hallelujah. Hey. A little Hannah came into the temple and didn't even have a child and couldn't change. Thank God of the fairness of her womb. She'd have loved to. She'd have loved to give a welcomer. Thank God, a son, a bouncing boy, an open eyed. I kept coming every day and saying, whoa, why don't you give him some children? What's the matter with you? Why is God set up her wound until one day she went to God bypassed Eli and said, God, I want a boy. Hallelujah. And if you let me have him, I'll give him back to you. He'll be yours. God said, that's exactly why I set up your wound. I've been needing a son. Hallelujah. I've been needing a boy to fill the place of hot time feeling hands. Hallelujah. I've been needing a priest and a prophet and I've set up your womb until you put him in my hands. Hallelujah. And a bargain is sealed. I'll give him to you. You give him back to me. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
When the water spit in the bottle, that is, when everything that would give sustenance on life has been exhausted. Hallelujah. And then lay that child. Hallelujah. Lay that situation under the shrubs and get it out of your hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said she cast him under the shrubs. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a fellow in our church. When I say our church, the church I'm a member at, and attend when I'm not preaching. It's actually the church that my wife was raised up in. We joined 7 years ago. Still members have gone about 30 miles to go to church. There's a fellow in our church. He's a deacon now. And he was a ruffian. than his younger days. And I knew his mother and dad both before they died. They're both dead now. And he's a little older than I am. Got two daughters. And I've heard him testify over and over again. Dad had probably done passed on, and mother's trying to raise him by staff, and he was the last of the bunch. And he got so mean, and of course, you know, those later teenage years and early 20s, and he knew more than mom, and he still lived at home, but he lived that wild life. And she'd beg him not to go, but he'd walk over mama. And she'd beg him to come in, and he wouldn't come in when mama said come in, lived that wild life.
Yes, sir.
Paid no attention.
Not
him. And one night he'd come in late, and she didn't say nothing to him. He said, I heard her playing in the back room. Said, I heard her sobbing. Said, I heard her call my name. And she come out and she said, Randall, I can't handle you no more. You got too old and too big, and I can't make you mine. But she said, while I go back yonder in the back room, I laid you on the altar and turned you over to the Lord. It's out of my hands now. It's in yours. It's in his. Hallelujah. He said, something struck me that night I never got away from. He said, I kept trying to drink, but I just didn't press right. I kept trying to do the things that I used to do, and I found no pleasure in them. And he said, Holy Ghost conviction set up in my soul. Hallelujah. Until that glorious day, and then I bounced in an altar and asked God how to save my wretched soul. I say, when the water spent in the bottle, my God, I cast them under the sun. I get it out of your hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say, God, it's up to you now.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord. Bible said she sat down about a bow shot from him and stood over against him, and the Bible said she lifted up her voice and she wept. She not only cast him under the shrubs, but she cried out. Hallelujah. She didn't want to hear the child crying. She didn't want him to hear her crying. And she sat down from him as he lay under the shrubs and cried out, lifted up her voice and wept.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
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 I'm convinced that most of our praying today is not desperate praying.
You're right, preacher. Amen.
Most of our praying today is shopping list praying.
You're right, preacher. Amen.
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 We got a list that we want God to do. Some favors and blessings and benefits. Thank God that we want God to give us. Amen. It's that bigger house, finer car, newer suit. Amen. Oh yeah. Thank God. Amen. Another recreational vehicle. How to take us out of the house of God. Hey. Thank God. I know I'm preaching right tonight. Thank God. And so we check in with God. Amen. And go down our shopping list, like we went at the grocery store, and say, this is what we want. But I say, praying, I doesn't really become praying until it becomes desperate. Hallelujah. It's the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man of an available man. It's not a casual mission. Hallelujah. It's not a good night prayer, but it touches God. It's that prayer that burns in your soul. Thank God. I got it squeezes the tears out of your eyes. And you cry out to the Holy God for help in your situation.
Amen.
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 I don't think you can get anything from God till you get desperate.
Amen.
Sinner or saint.
Right? Yes.
Amen.
Right. Go ahead, brother.
Amen.
Right.
So don't tell me, or don't tell the sinner to come down here and pray the sinner's prayer.
That's
yes.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because until he or she gets desperate, there ain't no sinner's prayer, no way.
Yes.
It's just a repeat of what you told them to say.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
I tell you what we've done. We've made a many fold, twofold more of the child of hell than they were to begin with.
Right.
By
repeating somebody's prayer, in somebody's heart. I believe in somebody's verse, and they've never had a hard experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I tell you what you're doing. I don't want to be ugly tonight. I'm not going to be by the help of the Lord. Amen. I will say this tonight. When a woman is with child and the veil has come, thank God, don't go into the room and say to her in the delivery room, thank God, how about repeating the mother's delivery prayer? It don't help one thing. Amen. It won't help the baby come. It's not till that the veil comes and the right time comes. And so it is with a sinner, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You thank hallelujah. I didn't get somebody out of darkness into light and raising somebody from death into light.
Hallelujah.
And putting somebody out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank God, it's just something that you can have in your own hands. It's by faith and the operation of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the supernatural act of God.
Amen.
And it's for repentance, prevail, and praise, and repentance and faith.
That's right.
That a sinner gets birth into the family.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
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 You're right. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
Now, on the other extreme, it doesn't mean everybody has to pray 5 or 6 weeks to get saved. Thank God, some are easier than others.
Right.
But all have come the same way.
Amen. Amen.
She lifted up her voice and wept. In desperate need. Well, I need to hurry. She sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. I wonder how long it's been since you just put your situation under shrubs and cried out with a loud voice, Lord. I can't do anything. This is it. If you don't do something, it's death. It's over with. This is the last straw. You're our last hope. I'm glad when he's our last hope, he's our best hope.
Amen.
When he's our only hope, he's our lively hope.
Amen.
Woo! If he's one of the choices, he won't help. But when he's the final, the last choice, and there's nowhere else to go, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You're in business.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Bible said God heard the voice of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? She's lifting up her voice and weeping, but God hears him under them shrubs. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And the Bible said, and the angel of God called the Hagar out of heaven and said, what aileth thee, Hagar? Well, don't you know God knew and the angel knew, but he wanted her to tell it. Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And where was he? Where she put him. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God. If she tried to hold him in her bosom, in her head, and in her arms, he'll never cry like he did. But when she laid him under the shrubs, he began to cry. Hallelujah. And God heard it. Why was that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, we try to supervise our situation and control all of our, I thank God, circumstances, and it just won't work.
Amen.
If we'd put him under the shrubs and say, God, it's bigger than what we can handle.
Amen.
God will hear and move and answer on our behalf.
Yes, amen.
Now notice what he said. Before there's any bottle, any water in the bottle, he says, lift up the lad and hold him in your hand. Go back over and get him out of them shrubs. Hallelujah. Hold his hand. Lift him up.
Amen.
I'm on my cap of a great mission.
Amen.
Amen. She went over and pulled him out from them shrubs. Hallelujah. That curse said she didn't want to see him die. God said, don't be afraid, he ain't going to die. I heard his voice. I know where he's at. And when she got him up in his arms, her arms in his by the hand, the Bible said, God opened her eyes.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible said, when the Lord opened her eyes, that she saw a well of water and went and filled a bottle with water and gave the lad drink.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, what do you do when the bottle, the water is spinning the bottle? Opened her eyes and she saw a well of water.
Well, you think it just came up?
No, it's our old time. But her eyes just got open to it. Hallelujah. And she couldn't see it till she put the child under the floods, sat out over against him, and lifted up her voice and wept. Abraham couldn't see the ram and the fishing either until he laid eyes to call the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bless his name. And then his eyes were opened. And what a blessed day when your eyes get opened. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
And she saw that well of water waiting, filled a bottle with water and gave the lad some drink. Amen.
Amen.
Some sustenance to help him fall down the road. Hallelujah. Oh, and he did. Thank God he got enough from that well. How to get on to the next place? The Bible said he grew. Thank God he built the well and became an archer. And the last first thing she took for him, a wife, thank God. Amen. I want to tell you, thank God.
Now, if you'll permit me just a minute, and I'll be through. I promise it won't take long. I want to look at one other passage of Scripture with the same thought. What happens when the water is spinning the bottle? Numbers 21. The Bible said the children of Israel are at Beer in verse 26. And the Bible tells us they're on their journey in the wilderness. It's been 40 years. They're almost finished with the journey. And the Bible said they come to a place called Beer. And there's no water.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the previous travels, if you go back to verse 10 or 11, you'll find that they were at Oboth. And the word Oboth means a place of balls. So evidently, at Oboth, they had got some water for the wilderness journey. You know, everything in the wilderness, every time they spoke, there was always wanting water. They was always thirsty. And so at Oboth, they got their bottles full of water. But by the time they got to Beer, they were empty. And there's needing another drink.
Yes, sir.
What do you do when the water's spent? Cast that child, that situation under scrubs and cry out to God. And let Him open your eyes.
Amen.
And show you the way.
Amen.
That was an individual situation. Here is a nation. A whole nation of people needing drink.
Right.
2 million Jews, besides their livestock,
right,
needing a place to drink water, and they're out here in the wilderness in a place called Beer where there is none.
Right.
They fill up their bottles at Old Boats, but they're empty now. The water is spent in the bottles. And what are they going to do?
Amen.
What do you do? I tell you what God said to Moses, gather the people together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bring them around. Tell them to come around here and sort of get together here, and I'll give them water.
Yes, sir.
What a blessing tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank God.
Yes.
I want to tell you tonight, our bottles are empty, and we're needing old-fashioned revival.
Amen.
We need a touch of God. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
I'll tell you, the generations of past prayers and preaching has just about fizzled out. Amen.
Right.
And we've lived on that. Thank God. And my friend, we have drawn from that of the bottles at Old Boat. But they're gone, they're spent. And we need a fresh drink tonight.
Yes,
we need a touch from heaven. Thank God, in a moving God tonight.
Yes,
tell the people together. What do you do, Moses? What do you do, Moses? Invite the clowns in. What about the puppets? I tell you what you do, Moses. Thank God. I get some great personality. Amen. That's what will bring water. Oh, no. Thank God. Amen. I give us a passion play. No, Moses, just gather the people together. Tell them to meet back on Sunday morning again on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Tell them to meet at the Bible time. Thank God, and come in my name and I'll give them water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is there water still available in this dry, barren desert? Though the water bottles are empty. Yes, if we'll come together and let God
I can still tread water. I know our folks are souls and hearts are mine tonight. Amen. And then the Bible said that when they gathered the people together, that Moses gave direction. He's the lawgiver.
Amen.
And he gave direction to the princes and the nobles to dig a well.
Amen.
He said, Caleb, I want y'all to dig right here. What do you mean, Moses? Right here. In the middle of this wilderness. Right here in the sand. Amen. He said, that's where I want you to dig.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder, have you come to truth to dig this week? Right here. All the princes and the nobles were commanded by the lawgiver, directed the lawgiver to dig wells. Right here. He said, here's the place God wants it dug. Now, I don't know much about well digging and all that business, but I know they used to search the ground and they used to look for a good place. And they suspect water of being right there.
Hallelujah.
And then they'll sit down and begin to drill. Well, who'd ever thought? I've been out here in the wilderness in a place called beer. I ain't caught in a dry and thirsty land. I ain't caught with the hot sun beaming down. And the sand, thank God, burning through your sandal feet. How did they could ever be water? Hey, God. But the bottles were empty. And they couldn't go on without water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, bless his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody said the day of revival's past. Somebody said the day of preaching is past. And the day of seeing God move is past. And the bottles are spent, the water. And the bottles are spent. Those days are gone. And I'm ready, said to Moses. Hey, God, though it is a wilderness and a desert and a dry, barren land, just gather the people together and I'll give some water to drink.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Tell them princes and nobles, probably those 70 elders, how to gather around here and start digging. I want you to dig right here. Moses ain't going to dig. Moses smoked the rock. Supposed to smoke it the second time, but he didn't. He just smoked it twice. And now God said, Moses, don't you do anything. You're about to die in hell. I want your second generation to know. I ain't got it. The water didn't come by you alone. It is by me. And if I was with you, I'll be with them. Hallelujah. I want them to know the water didn't go out and won't go out when you die. And because Aaron said, that doesn't mean it's no more water. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. I thank God for the men of God in the past and the churches in the past. Oh, God, help us. I don't reckon it's not in a place that I preach at, which is not very many, but in a state that I don't go in. And just last week in North Carolina, and the preacher said to me, that church used to be powerful. And the riding down the road, that church used to be spiritual. Oh, yeah. Same way in Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee and Kentucky. Hey, but I'm glad God didn't die when the church is dead. And God didn't die when Aaron and Moses did. Hey, God, and this is a dry wilderness, and we're needing some water. And God promised that if we gather together, hallelujah,
amen,
that he'd send water.
Amen.
Amen. Now he said, I want y'all to gather up. I want you to dig out here. And I want you to dig with your staffs. That's what he said. You going to dig a well? You want to dig with a staff? Shepherd's staff. Straight on one end. Long and tall, probably taller than and curved around, probably on the end. And that's what he said, dig with. How much sand you going to move with a staff? But that's what he said, dig with, not a steam shovel. Amen, not a shovel, period. Amen. God help us. I want to tell you, our churches are trying to dig with backhoes today.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
But it's all mechanics.
You're right. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen. And the smoke I smell and see, thank God, ain't the smoke of the glory of God. And it's been on the altar and burned up the sacrifice. Hey, it's the smoke of diesel fuel. Amen. Thank God. How did I smell? Hallelujah. Amen. God help us. Oh Lord, it's just mechanical. And we dug down and we got a little water, this surface water.
You're right.
Amen. Enough to feed everybody. Amen. But it satisfied everybody, sir. And it pays out. Amen. Or before you can get to the next service.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so we began a program of buildings. Amen. Thank God, and entertainment. Amen. And it's like the 4th of July. If you get a crowd to come back next year, the fireworks have got to be bigger than they were last 4th of July. And so if you bring in this group and that group, and you do this and you do that, you'll get a crowd, but by the next time a service goes around, they'll go somewhere else. So to get them back, you'll have to have something bigger. And it's always bigger budget and bigger buildings. Amen. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we're just hitting surface water. What we need is the well.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Amen. So they dug with a staff. By the way, I believe the staff was something that was given to them by their forefathers. If they were in the wilderness for 40 years, I don't see them run across enough trees to whittle them out of staff. So it had to be given to their fathers that died in the wilderness and passed it on to them and said, this is the staff. So there's a bigger staff, and on top of being a staff is an old staff.
Right.
Wasn't new.
Right.
Wasn't NIV.
Right.
Hallelujah. Wasn't a good news for modern man.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
I believe it come out of Egypt with them.
Yeah.
I believe their days held in their hand. That fateful night in Egypt. Thank God, with their shoes on their feet, and their staff in their hand, and eating the Lord's Passover in haste. That same staff. And when that daddy passed it down to that son, just before he died in the wilderness, he said, son, this is the staff. Thank God that I held in my hand as the blood was on the doorpost, and he was eating the roasted lamb. Thank God, inside the house. This is the staff. Have it seen after the flock all these years. It's the staff I've leaned on. And it helped me make my journey in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And it's the staff now that they're using to dig oil. Somebody said the staff won't work in this day. And we got different problems than our forefathers and grandpa and grandpa had. I want to tell you the same staff that had come out of Egypt and went to the wilderness is the same staff that had dig oil. Oh, bless his name. I realize we got sodomy. I realize that we got heroin and cocaine and meth lamps. I realize that we got different methods of sin today and things that our forefathers were not bothered with, but this wicked old book will still do the job. It's the staff that's been handed down. All we need to do is take it and dig with it tonight.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes.
Slow, but it's sure.
Amen.
It takes a while when you're digging with a staff. But when you hit the water that you dig with a staff, you don't have to worry about it anymore. 1966, I was nearing 7 years old. My parents built a house outside of town near the church where I grew up in. We lived across the tracks first 6 years of my life. Poor part of town. We wouldn't have moved to the rich part of town by no means, but just out in the country, just on 2 acres of land outside the city limits at that time. 1966, Mom and Dad built that little house. Brick on the front of it, the half of it, just up halfway. The brick went halfway. I guess they could afford all the way around. It was wood the rest of the way, and the payment was $60 a month. That came 66. That's right. Amen. And didn't know if they were going to get the loan or not, but they finally gave it. Moved out in that little 3-bedroom, 1-bath house out there in the country.
And the fellow that dug the wells in that area was named Mr. Campbell. He was an elderly man by that time, and he dug a lot of wells in his time. And so Dad called him to dig a well for the house. So out behind the back of the house, he said this was a good place, and not too far from the house, and sat down and began to dig. Now, I don't know how many feet he got down, but I remember him coming to Dad and said, "Mr. Case, I've struck water." And he said, "It's pretty good." And he said, "It's your money." And he said, "If you want me to, I'll stop right here." He said, "But I've dug a lot of wells here in this little valley." And he said, "I know from digging that there's an underground river runs through this valley." And he said, "I'm stop here." He said, "You got pretty good water." He said, I don't know all about it, but I know it's pretty good water." But he said, if you want to spend the money and let me dig down a little deeper, he said, "I'll go for that underground river." And he said, "If I ever hit it," he said, "you'll never worry. The well will never go dry. Your problems will be solved." Dad said, "Go ahead and dig a little more." Hallelujah. After a while, he dug in and found that underground river. Come back to Mr. Pace. "I told you, I found it. Your worries are over." That's in 1966. There's been dry years. There's been years we planted corn on that hillside, on that acre of land. Thank God. And other things. And watered the crops weeks at a time. I mean, just day in and day out. There's been times that the water line broke because we run it down there when my grandma moved in. Her little old trailer was across the road to run it down there. And I've seen the water line break and get up the next morning and there'd be a stream like that had run down up through the field all night. The pressure, thank God, from that well all night. We didn't realize this stuff. Though it's still running, amen. Thank God, I've left it all as a boy watering the roots. The dogs, thank God, I'm not feeling different there. And get up the next morning and it'd be soppy and soggy everywhere you'd step. But never, thank God, and it's been nearly 40 years, has it ever offered even to go dry. However, others, well, I've ever having trouble with, and because we had tapped into the underground river. Hallelujah. Power of faith, it might take a while longer. And it's not easy digging. But if you dig with a staff, hallelujah. If you ever hit the well, hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Thank God, it'll keep springing up. And you won't have to worry about it. Hallelujah. Oh. Amen. They're digging for a well. They're digging for their family. They're digging for their friends. They're digging for their tribes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you have a reason to dig tonight?
Yes, sir. Bless you.
I don't guess you move much sand with a staff. Hot burning deserts, sun beating down on their brow. One of them looked at him and said, "This is rough work, boys. And I was thirsty before we started. We don't hit water sooner. I still believe I'll faint." That crowd's gathered around them. And I hear somebody in that crowd say, "Spring up, oh well! Sing you under it!" Somebody else picks it up and it becomes a chant and then a song. And that crowd that's gathered around them starts singing, "Spring up, oh well!" Makes them fellas want to dig a little harder. They're not singing to them. They're singing to the whale. "Spring up, oh well!" After a while, one of them says, "Something's a bubbling. I see it." And when they're dead, they pick up the song a little louder. "Spring up, oh well! Spring up, oh well!"
Hallelujah.
Glory! Preached in the mountains of North Carolina last week. In a camp meeting, open door tabernacle. Sawdust floors. And I'm not for sure if it was Tuesday night, now Wednesday night, that I preached, and I didn't feel like I'd done too much digging that night. Just felt a little off, you know. And after service over with, not everybody come by and shook hands with me. Up come a little old boy and girl. I don't guess that's 12-year-old yet. And that little girl couldn't talk for me. And she come up on that stage and come over to where I sat. And she said, "Preacher, I like that preaching. That was good preaching." I said that did a little more. That's like saying spring up whole well. Hey, ma'am, come back the next night and decided I'd take the staff again and see if I could dig a little more. All right. Thank God. Oh, the water didn't spin in the bottles. And the desert was dry. But the Lord said, if you'll gather together, I'll give you water. And by the direction of the lawgiver Moses, they've done where he said. And they've gone with their staff. And guess what? The Lord God of heaven sent the water as the people said, spring up, oh well. And they drunk and was, I thank God, refreshed and went on their journey and to the land of Canaan tonight. I wonder what you're going to do tonight. Is the water spent in your bottle? Is your old boat run out? Then if the Lord lets you, we'll dig a well tonight. The water's run out of the bottle for your children, your situation tonight. Why don't you put it in the Lord's hand, get it out of yours tonight, and lift up your voice and cry out to Him tonight until He shows you the well. By the way, that's the first time well's mentioned is in that Genesis 21. That's the first time a well ever mentioned in the Bible. But it's the last. It's the last. And she opened her eyes and got water for her son to live. Hallelujah. The woman Samaria in John 4. Hallelujah. Left the water pot and found the well and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. There's a well for your empty bottle. There he is. You thought the bottle would do it, but your bottle's empty tonight. And you think there's no hope, but I'm telling you, He'll replace the bottle with a well. He'll replace the water pot with a well tonight. Oh, if you'll quiet Him, if you'll dig tonight. Would you come? Everybody stand, please. We're going to sing a verse of song. If you need to come to the altar, the altar's open for you tonight. Saint and sinner alike. Has the water been spent in your bottle? Oh. Can you stand to see the death of the child? Are you one of those that just need to dig tonight? You said, Bridge, I don't have a staff, but can you at least name spring up a well? Can you be an encouragement to those that will take the Word of God and dig? Whatever your need is for the prayer tonight. For yourself, for your child, grandchild, for some situation, for your church, for revival. For your own heart tonight. While she plays on the piano, the altar's open. Would you come?
He is the fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by this world's demands, the pieces are mended with one Lord hand. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must be. Touch is the balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. It's a hand that hung this old world in place. A hand that was scarred just to give me grace, and to think the hand that holds the stars is small enough to mend one broken heart. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must believe. The great Physician's touch is the balm that can mend broken hearts with one stored hand. He is a fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by this world's demands, the pieces are mended with one scarred hand.